Amen. Could we all stand this morning? Just so good to be in the house of the Lord. Just welcome everyone, family, relatives, friends, co-workers, our precious brother Leon Lewis, to come into the house of the Lord for the funeral service. We just want to turn to our songbooks and let us sing song number one. Or if you have the sheets, let us sing Amazing Grace. How sweet a song.
Signing up.
close our eyes, we just want to ask Brother Yinzi Sanchez to pray with us this morning.
Bless your dear name, Father. Lord God, we gather here this morning, Lord Jesus, to pay last respects, dear God, to our brother. Father God, we gather in your name, Father. Lord, we have come, dear God, with sorrow in our hearts, and also with joy, Father, knowing the life of our brother live amongst us for these years, Father. Such a gallant soldier, dear God, and live a life of a true example of a son of God amongst us, Father. And here, Lord, you have taken him away. You see, Lord, in your eyes at this time, as the scripture said, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. And it pleases you, dear God, to take him home at this time, Father. Lord, knowing that many hearts would be sad at this time in the family, dear God, would you believe your presence is here, Father, to bring peace, to bring satisfaction, Lord, to bring contentment, dear Father. Lord, that you not just worry, dear God, but knowing that all is well, Father, or better, dear God, is on the other side, Lord, in harmony with you at this time, Father. He has been in union with you, dear God, all for these years, this 18 years, oh God, of this Christian walk on the earth, Father. And today, dear God, we know he's with you, Father. He's been united with you, dear God. And we ask, dear God, that you come this morning, Father. And as we head to pray, we ask respect, dear God, even the few words that we speak on his behalf, dear God. Lord God, it would remain in our hearts, dear God, as we journey along, as we are left on this side to continue this battle, Father. We stand, dear God, as true soldiers of the cross, Lord. True stalwart men and women, Father, to continue this race, dear God. We ask a blessing upon this service this morning, Father. Take full charge, dear God. Comfort every heart this morning, Father. Remember the bereaved family, his mother, Lord God, his wife, dear God, his daughter, their father, and the family, dear God, each and every one, Father. May you take full control this morning, Father. May your holy presence, O God, be made manifest amongst us this morning, Father. We commit this service into thy hands, dear Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for all things, dear God, in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just want to turn to our songbooks. If you have the songbooks there, we want to sing Peace in the Valley. It's 155. Know there's peace in the valley for our brother. Just want to sing this song. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go. It's 155. Amen. The skies will be clear, and the sky. Have our precious sister Prudence Lewis Williams sister to come read for us the eulogy. Amen, Sister Prudence. Bernadette. Okay. Sister Bernadette Lewis.
Leon St. Bernard Lewis was born in Trinidad and Tobago on the 28th of October 1949, the last of four sons of Olmida and Alan Lewis. He attended La Saiva RC School for 2 years, then attended Gaines Normal AME School. His formal education, was ended at Calvary School. Upon completing his formal education, he did his apprenticeship in auto mechanics which he stayed employed for some time. He was then employed at the Port Authority of Port of Spain in the maintenance division for several years. During that time, Leon met and married Maureen Moore. Their union produced one child named Tracy Elizabeth Lewis. He subsequently found Christ and was baptized on the 18th of December, 1976. He fellowshiped at the Macalester Street and then at the Third Exodus Assembly, where he kept his faith. Leon was always there, and sometimes it seemed that before you can even call to help, to meet need, or even to just stand there, he was more than willing. However, his greatest love was serving the Lord. Praising God was his first nature to him, and therefore guided his family and relation in the fear and nature of the Lord. He served as a member of the recording and soundtrack division of the church until his calling. Brother Leon was loved by all, a friend to all, and will truly be missed indeed by all. Brother Leon is survived by his daughter Tracy Lou Elizabeth, his mother Olmida Lewis, two brothers Keith and Hugo, four sisters, Prudence, Jillian, Bernadette, and Yvette, several nieces, nephews, and cousins, four aunts, three uncles, two dear sisters, Sister Joy and Sister Maureen, and many other relatives and saints of God. I believe that if Brother Leon was here to have his last words with us, he would say to you, I love you and wanted to spend many more years with you, but I am called to a higher duty. I must go. Please continue to train my children in the fear of God. Since I know that my death is a shock to you, I wish I could have stayed to continue the end of the work I began, but higher duty summoned me away. You may You made my life full of substance and helped me along in answering this call. To my relatives, friends, and acquaintances, should you tear, let them be the joy of knowing that I was found worthy to answer when divinity called me away. I love you all and I cared. I am home and I arrived safely. Good day.
Amen. At this time we have two of his nieces. Amen. Come and sing for us. Sisters to come and sing for us as we get ready. Let us sing in everything, give him thanks. The good times, we praise his name. In the bad times, we do the same. Amen. In everything. Give God time. Amen. At this time, could we all stand? Let us sing this song, "Then Sings My Soul, My Savior God to Thee," as we turn the service over to the pastor. Just want to mention, amen, the restrooms is on my left, on your right there. The north is for the sisters and the southern is for the brothers. There is also a condolence book in the back there when we are leaving, when the service is in. It's there for you to just sign your name, put your name down. Amen. So let us sing, "Then Sings My Soul, My Savior God to Thee, How Great Thou Art." Then sings my soul.
Worship him. Come on. Son that's peering. And when I think that God is Son that's peering, oh, He sent Him to die, sent Him to die. I scarce can take it in. On the cross, not on the cross, all my burden gladly bearing. Hallelujah. How grateful we should be today. Bearing. He bled and died, oh, to take away my sin. That is why there's a resurrection, friend. That's why we have hope for it, brother. Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul. Hallelujah. To be, oh, isn't God great? How great thou. Because I live, you shall live also. That's what he promised. How great thou art. Gracious Father, how we appreciate your greatness to know that the one we serve and in whose presence we are gathered in today is the greatest there ever was, there is, and there ever will be. Who can be likened unto thee, dear God? There is none like unto thee. Oh God, thou art the Almighty. We are so privileged, Father, to have this opportunity to stand in your great presence today. To come into your house and to gather around the remains of our precious brother who lived and walked amongst us, with whom we were associated in this life, and have come to pay our last respects, Lord, because of the grace that you have shown unto him. And while he was dead in sin and trespasses, Lord, you shed your blood and you died for him. Send your Holy Spirit back to quicken him when he was manifested in this earth. Brought him to your saving knowledge, dear God. Change his life and make him a living testimony that others who knew him before and knew him after he met you truly knew that he had a real experience. That there was a transforming power that changed his life. That we can come and gather here today and worship you in song and have this blessed hope in our hearts that he's not dead, he's just asleep. He shall rise again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What joy and gladness it brings to us that when we would come down to Death's Call River, we'll have to cross over. Lord, it reminds us of those children of Israel coming to that great Jordan. Didn't know how they were going to go across, Lord. But then they put the ark before them. It broke the power of the waters of that Jordan. It made a way to go over into that new land. And the people were able to cross over that river into a new land. Showing their God that one day such a reality would come to us. Oh God, when we think of Calvary, when we think of you destroying the power of death, when we think of the greatness of your resurrection, and knowing that, oh God, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus from the dead, it shall be imputed unto us for righteousness that we believe. And when we hear his word and believe it and walk in it, we are passed from death unto life. We thank you, Father, that your word not only saves, but it keeps us. We don't just have a religion, oh God, while we are alive, but we have a religion, Lord God, that keeps us in this hour and gives a hope beyond the grave. It means so much to us in times like these. Father, I pray today that your great Holy Spirit that is present here, the great comforter, Lord, will bring comfort and peace. As you said in your word, comfort one another by these words. That the Lord would give strength and comfort. It would give encouragement to them that are in grief and have a sorrowful heart. And that even as we would come to speak a few words of your grace and your mercy, of your death, burial, and resurrection, of this great hope that you've given unto us as Christians, and Lord God, to give witness of the life our brother lived, we pray that you would Bless these words, Father. And that in this final sermon, Lord, we preach to crown the life that he live upon the face of this earth. Oh, God, when we walk away, we would want to walk, Lord, the way he walked if we are not walking in that way. We don't want to take the kind of stand that he took if we haven't taken that stand. We don't want to serve God in the reality and with the conviction that he served God with if we don't have that, Father. I pray that even today as his family and relatives, and many, Lord, who may not have been able to spend moments with him to speak about the hope that he carried in his bosom and the life that motivated him and what changed him and made him live the way he lived. That today could be a day that it could be imparted unto them. We know that that would bring joy to his heart. How before he died, he would have loved to gather all his family. We know sometimes things like that could be difficult. But here today, many are gathered, Father. We think of Jill, who is not here also, Lord. How she would like to be here. Oh, God, trying to get a flight and unable to get one. May you comfort her heart and may you strengthen her where she is, knowing the bond of affection that existed between them, Lord. I pray that in these few words that we would speak and the few moments we would spend here, that all would be said and done with pleasing and be acceptable in your sight. And dear God, at the end of the service, as we leave, there would be some heart that would be closer drawn to you, to want to live for you and serve you, Father, the way that you require us to do in this hour. Would you do that for us today, Father? Truly, it would give greater meaning and serve a great purpose here, knowing how our brother separated from this world to live for you. Grant it, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. I would like to just read a portion of the word before you have your seat. Just remain standing in respect to God's holy word. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 16. It's a little experience the great apostle, St. Paul, had when he was in Greece, in Athens. And it reads like this. If you don't have a Bible, you could listen attentively. Now, while Paul waited for them to at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus. That was the highest court in the land at the time. Saying, may we know what this new doctrine of which thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very superstitious. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one the blood of all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone, carved by art and men's device. And the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, concerning which he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Nevertheless, certain men clave unto him and believed, among whom were Dionysus and Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. May God bless the reading of his word. You may have your seat. Certainly appreciate your patience and want to welcome you all in the house of God as we gather here to pay our last respects to our precious brother Leon St. Bernard Lewis, who departed this life on the 4th of May and went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in terms of what we consider a long life, his life was a short life, a brief life, but it's better that a man could even live a couple of days in a real quality of life than to live a long lifespan and waste his life and didn't leave no impact or no example upon the community or those who he associated with. He to be able to live extended time, even beyond 80, that they can benefit of God's grace to have extra life and then to not live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a person, you know, going to school and they should have put them out and keep them down in second standard and keep them down in third standard and keep them not learning their work, and by the time they get ready to take school leaving, they fail everything and they had some extra time in class and didn't learn anything, and they go into the society and can't even get a job when they had teachers willing to give them extra lessons and everything else, and they just wasted the opportunity. Because this life is only a probation for the true life that is to come. Amen. Eternal life in an eternal city with the eternal God, where there will be no more death, and the tree of life will be in the midst of the city. Amen. Planted by the great river of life flowing through that city. It's promise. It's a reality. Amen. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, who created man and put him in the Garden of Eden, is the same God who promised that in the Bible. Is that right? Amen. You see, death, it can make things look so obscure and dark for us if we look at it without faith. But with faith and people who experience and partake of the reality of life can look at death and look beyond death and see the greatness of life, even the life that conquered death and rose triumphantly and is available to all of us who believe and can be partakers of that life. If some people only knew Brother Leon after the flesh, all they will see is that fleshly body inside of there. And if they don't even look much like him as it is right there, then they may be perturbed over it. But if they knew the man who lived in that house, amen. Hallelujah. If they understood what pushed him, amen. What made him live the way he lived and walk the way he walked. What made him have the conviction in this life that the things he used to do, he do them no more. Yeah. And when even good old friends would bring it to him, he would say, I can't do it. Yeah. They said, but nobody in senior, people in the church in senior. He wasn't living with people in the church. Yeah. He was serving a living God, amen. Yeah. Who took him and changed him. Amen. Made him a new creator, a new creation. Who set his heart on things above. who causes eyes of faith to look beyond this life and look into a great eternal land, and to know that Jesus Christ is not a myth. Jesus Christ is not some religion that the Baptists have interpretation, the Methodists have interpretation, the Pentecostal have interpretation, the Catholic have interpretation, but Jesus Christ is the living resurrected Christ who comes to a man, amen, who comes to his own and finds them and breaks the power of sin around their life and bring them to know him in reality, who fills their heart with the love of God that the things of the world hold no attraction to them. That they don't have to look for pleasure in parties and look for enjoyment in a bottle or look for a high on some piece of dope or something. But they can go in the Word of God, amen, and face life challenges with a reality in their heart. That is the person we knew as Leon Lewis. Amen. That is the person we are gathered to pay respects to this morning. Many a great man live in an old house. Many a fool live in a nice, big, fancy house. Amen. See, the greatness of the man is not the house, how the house look. It's the man inside of you, the principles, the convictions of that man. And so, you know, we are thankful to God for his life. Because how can we come and pay respects to him and not honor and glorify the God by whose strength he lived? He didn't live by his own strength. He knew he was nothing. He knew he was a failure. He knew God would walk away from him. He'll go right back to the world. He'll go right back to the filth and the scum of the world that God took him out from. But he knew, because of the grace of God and the promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you and shall be in you even unto the end of the world. Amen. He believed those things. Amen. When he met that God like Ruth, he said, where thou goest will I go? Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you buried, will I be buried. To think of that was the kind of integrity, that was the kind of life, that was the kind of character in that person. And many who knew him closely according to the flesh never knew him that way. Couldn't appreciate him for those things. Couldn't respect him for that kind of conviction. Amen. I think we should all be glad to be associated with somebody who'd have that kind of conviction. Sometimes we quicker to give honor and glory to a sportsman or a rock star or a celebrity or some dignitary or something, and just give hail showers of praise on them and talk about them all day and how great their achievement is. But they're still trapped in sin and don't know Jesus Christ. And when it comes to life's journey, but all the activities and the sacrifice for this natural life is not going to qualify them for that other life. They'll have to be judged for the deeds done in the body, because appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. Is that what God's word says? Oh my. It's so precious to know God in reality. Amen. To experience the grace and the love of God. People think God's serving God is burdens and hardship and weight on them, and you know, they think like God will make their life miserable and God will take away all their joy and they can't enjoy themselves now. And we get trapped right here, and our mind is held in the realm where we only believe the devil's lie. And God is trying to say, at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know of. Amen. I'll be your satisfying portion. They're afraid to trust him. They feel they're going to lose out something. Brother Leon Lewis used to be a Rastafarian. I didn't know him in those days. But he spoke to me, he gave me his testimony. He served God with me here for about 13, 14 years in the assembly here. We traveled together to United States, Canada, Central America. We went to Africa a couple of times together, spent weeks and months out here traveling on the field, preaching the gospel, sleep together, eat together, do everything together by God's grace. And he lived for that. Whenever I go in, sometimes he wants to go. I say, okay, you can go. And he would, you know, go out in the field there and always willing to do something to help. Now, he did it with a passion. He didn't see I could use this money maybe to do something else. No, he felt that he wanted to do something worthwhile in this life. Somebody might say, you're a fool. You're wasting your life. You're doing this. I would like to say some things about him that maybe some of us may not know, because sometimes the part of a person that attracts us, that is the way we relate to them. And to them, that is not really them. To them, that is the minor. And, you know, it was in, as we heard, 1976, he crossed paths with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we read here in the Bible, Paul was speaking about Jesus and the resurrection. And some people were thinking, what is Babylon say? What strange doctrine is going to set forth? We'll hear of that another time. Some mocked when he's talking about a man raised from the dead and he's appointed unto a man who wants to die in the judgment. And in times past, God winked at people's ignorance. But now he's commanding every man to repent because the fullness of the word, the resurrected Messiah, was in the midst. If they had only realized that man who was standing there speaking did actually meet the one he was preaching about, was commissioned by Jesus after he rose, and was taken to heaven and saw people alive still in another body. Because Paul said, I saw things that even lawful to speak. If this earthly tabernacle be deserved, there's another one waiting. He said, God took me up into glory. I saw it. If they realized that if there was any man qualified to speak about life after that and the resurrection and the judgment, was the very man who was standing in the midst. But the Greeks, they were known for the wisdom. The wisdom of this world, there was philosophers. They used to check out and analyze and break down and look at grammar and look at this and look at the man IQ and this and study all kinds of different things. And here it was the very thing that spoke of life. They couldn't catch it. And they didn't realize that he wasn't going to stay there forever. It was a momentary thing. Because the Bible says he departed from them. If they knew who it was, if they knew what lay in him, if they knew he was a channel of God to bring them to what they knew, if they knew he was commissioned by the resurrected Christ to go to them, to turn them from the powers of Satan to the power of God, to bring them into that inheritance, they would have constrained him to abide with them, to stand, tell them about this reality. But thank God, it says, had a man named Dionysus, and a woman named Damaris out to the whole crowd. They cleave to him and say, tell us more about this. We believe this. May there be a Dionysus and a Damaris here today. As I speak about Jesus and the resurrection. Because we are, if that is not real, he is dead as a doornail and there's no hope for him beyond the grave. But if that is real, friend, he ain't dead. There's many garments that he wore that is in his home right now. That we know, and we can remember certain type of clothes he wear. We can remember some of the clothes he traveled when we go overseas and we travel in the winter time. He had his mittens, he had his scarf around his neck, he had his sweater, he had all these things. But because in Trinidad, he didn't need it. He never was away. So nobody never saw him in that outside by a picture or who traveled with him. Well, the same way. His body is a robe you take off. Yeah. Then he took it off and he ended in another one, but the land where he's gone to, he can't take this flesh and blood here. But if his earthly tabernacle be dissolved, he has another one prepared here that he's wearing. For that environment, one adapted to the kind of conditions in that other world. Amen. And so, you know, being harassed outside there, he's the top of the line of Judah and, you know, restoration back to the fatherland and roots and all these different things. But he was trapped into a realm looking for a reality, but locked up in a physical form. But something in their heart wanted that reality. Something in his heart wanted to meet that line of Judah who had broken every chain, amen. Who is worthy to take the book and loose the seven seals. Amen. There was something inside of him. And so, when he met this one, It was 1976 already, he was baptized. And he made a stand. I could imagine many of his friends, some strange. What is the matter with Leon? But he couldn't help it. His name Leon means lion. You know that? Lewis means famous warrior. That's what Lewis means, famous warrior. And St. Bernard. Bernard means bold as a bear. St. Bernard, you know, they have these dogs, they're called St. Bernard. They're to rescue the lost travelers. Amen. And bring them back into the monastery. There's a go there and find them. And there's a carry something to give sustenance and revive the lost traveler that they wouldn't perish out in the cold. Amen. Tell me his life is not that. Amen. You see, when you look at people from his cradle, when he dropped from his mother's womb, God knew the day he will complete his earthly journey. God knew the moment he will go on to his eternal destination, leaving this life. God knew the amount of space and the allotted time that he gave him to make that journey. And God knew the very moment, 1976, he was going to bring in a divine intervention into his life. He was going to stop him in his tracks and say, change your life, Leon, from this day. I have a greater purpose for you. Just like God moving there on May the 4th. And he says, Sister Joy, he says, come, raise me up. I feel a little restless here. Them angels all around the door outside. The chariot had dropped down. Amen. Park in midair. Hallelujah. The fire of God. You see what you're saying? Jesus says, when a man is dying, the angels come to bear him away. St. Luke 16. And he said, I'm not feeling restless no more. I'm feeling a sweet peace. His last words, he said, Joy, I'm feeling a sweet peace. Peace and joy. Amen. But he was glad. He was getting ready to go. He knew, he, like David, he could hear the rustling of the spirit in the mulberry trees. He had an appointment with the supernatural. They had come to take him. Amen. But he had a study with United Airlines or American Airlines or BWI or nothing like that. There was something going to take him in a land where they couldn't even take him. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a divine transportation to get him there. I'm thankful for his life and for knowing him. He was a blessing to me. He was a blessing to this assembly. He served God here gallantly, nobly. Out in the foreign field, he made many friends. All in my heart is a sadness today to think of Joy. Jill, his sister, would like to be here. I remember many times we'd stop in London going to Africa. And Jill would meet us by the airport. Even the last time we went, he didn't go with us. And yet he called up, he made arrangements, she took time off from work, she was in the airport, took us there, took us to the hostel, got rooms for each and every one of us who was traveling. Everybody had their own room and everything else. And she arranged everything for us, took us out. And she, because we were Leon friends, because we were Leon brothers, identified him in the gospel. And she was like a sister. She came service. Yeah, she came to our home and everything else. And, you know, I heard she was trying to get a flight and couldn't make it. And I know that, you know, the bond that existed between them, she'd have liked to be here. But God knows all things. And I know God knows the kindness that she showed and the love that she showed and the commitment that she showed. And then Leon, you know, he had a daughter. And, you know, he loved her very much. I was reading the last few words that he wrote concerning her. Tracy, he says, look, I tried to bring up in the word of the Lord. He said, I wish that you would accept the Lord, because the only way you repent of your sins. And he said, that's the only way Daddy will ever see you again, if we have to meet again. And then after he finished, he began to write to me, and he says, you kept your commission. You watch over my soul. He says, and the greatest time, he said, I'm sorry for all my mistakes and my failures that I made. He said, but the greatest time was in my last few days. And those in the assembly who know him would know the last few days because he had a little dry spell. Maybe battles and pressures of life. He kept many things inside. Man who would have liked to live with his family, he would come in by us, going by different saints, come in the door. Wife would put some food for him there or something, talk to him. Sisters would respect him. Brothers, we'd hold our children around us and hug us up. When he wanted to play with his children over here, he had to play with our children, other people's children. When he wanted to lift up somebody and do something nice, and he had them running after him. And so he made friends. And he was fast to make friends because it wasn't only that he was friendly, but he desired fellowship. There was an emptiness there for close fellowship. To talk with him in the things he wanted to talk with. To enjoy the things he wanted to share. To get somebody to listen and get excited about what excites him. And to appreciate what changed him. And that was his conviction. And, you know, after that, he went through a little dry spell, and then it seemed like the water began to come back to the roots. But with a greater flow than it was before. And he would be there every service. I had to preach sometime back in a Rima, and I just called him up the last moment and says, could you come up there? I want to take the service with me and different things. He would put everything aside. He wanted to be there. Something was pushing him. Even the last few days, when I left, he was telling me, I'm not feeling too well. I'm kind of like sick. A lot of headaches, and we had to leave to go to Australia, New Zealand. And while I was in Australia, I called home and I heard that Leon was sick, he was in the hospital. But Steve and myself, we began to talk about it, and because I was watching something, he was in America and he's very sick. And he didn't know why. He couldn't understand. He wasn't catching and reading the signs. He thought, well, maybe he's just going through a hard time or whatever it was, and the cold and different things. And then when he found out his two kidneys were failing and he had to be hospitalized, you know, yet some of the last few things he wrote, he was taking a record of things that was outstanding to him that was like signs and voices. And one of the things he wrote was Emmanuel. The doctor's first name was Emmanuel. And he put God with us because he knew Emmanuel, that was a sign, God with us. Then the doctor, next name was, not doctor, his surname was, I think the African name or something, it means God of the dogs. Well, when he found that out too, you know, he was a man in the dogs like St. Patrick. So he found out it means God of the dogs, he wrote that down too. Then one day he ended up with one of the cups. He wasn't supposed to have that cup. It belongs to only the nurses. It had a rainbow upon it, but somehow the cup ended up in his hand. And a nurse passed and was looking at the cup and she went, no, what are you doing with that cup there? And he wrote down rainbow on the cup. He was, because the rainbow is a covenant for the believer. Yeah. Amen. And then, you know, also, there were six complaints that he had after he was diagnosed. And he marked 6 inches long. Man suffering. And, you know, things like that. And, you know, it showed he was sensitive. God was speaking to him. And he had been trained to look for signs in his life. He had been trained to understand that God deals with you a certain way. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And God described time by sign always. God always put, like just like a man building a road, put signs and road marks and different things to post you along the way. So if you're in Chaguanas, you will know you're in Chaguanas and you're not in Caroni, you're not in Port of Spain yet. There'll be a sign, if there's a curve, there'll be a sign saying, dangerous curve, slow down or something. And he knew God was like that way, that a long life, earthly journey, God put signs for the person to follow. And he realized he was coming in to the harbor. His journey was over. And when I came back, it was upon my heart to go and see him. I wanted to see him so bad. And I called upon the brother Joe. I said, Joe, I want to go and see Brother Leon quickly. He says, well, we're going to go tomorrow evening. I said, okay, well, come and meet me. And then he mentioned, he says, look, I can't make it. I have to work late, but if I could get off early, I'll come. It didn't happen. And he says, well, here what we're going to do. We're going to get him and bring him because How about the church? It would be better for you to talk to him there. As well, if you all say so, because I don't know the place where he has moved to now. And he had went back home by his mom. And the next day called. And from the time I heard his voice on the phone, he wanted to see me so bad. And I said, look, I'm coming right away. I got a hold of Brother Joe. He was at home, and we went up there quickly. We spent the early part of the evening there with him, talking with him. And the first thing I asked him, I says, do you want to live or not? Do you have the will to live? Because when I walked in, I saw him. I'd been away for a month. And when I remember him walk out of the church here normal 1 week, you know, he had maybe a couple of good days in between the bad days. And then he was sick and had to be in hospital after I left. And then when I saw him now, I couldn't believe it. He looked like Willie. Brother Willie is a brother who died with the same type of complaints. And I says, you're looking like Willie boy. He said, I was worse than this. And he sat there and I says, I say, is there anything in your life, Liam? That's to make right. Is there anything? I say, when a man comes to a place like this, he turns over every stone in his life. You see, that is the kind of communication we had. We believe life is real. We believe life is earnest. We believe the grave is not its goal. We believe that a man has to give account for God for the deeds done in this body. We believe as much as Jesus Christ loved us and died for us, yet a man with sin cannot go in the presence of Almighty God. Don't you have to be made right first? And he was not one to cover his sin and hide his sin. He would stand, he stood before the church here before and speak things that make him look a certain way. Humiliate himself before the people of God. He wanted to be honest. Because he wanted the young men too to know. You had men, look at some of the brothers here. Who he was close to. He wanted them to know that he wasn't playing church. He's not an angel with wings. He's a man of like passions. Could be tempted, could be tried. Could fall and falter. But if you keep looking to Jesus Christ, God who have called him can keep him. And though we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And so he made those things right. And I believe he is at peace, at rest. In a body where there's no kidney problems. In a body where there's no migraine headaches. In a body where the feet can't be swollen. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. As I come to a close, just a few remarks here on this great experience that these people had. Because I believe that God is not a God of history. These people had an opportunity. Here was a man prepared and sent by God. One who was qualified to speak on life. Not try and get a good education, not save your money when you start a work, not kind of, you know, take out an insurance policy in case you get an accident. All those are good things, but that don't really concern real life. Real life has to do with Jesus Christ. Have to do with a man's sin. Have to do with a man's preparation for future, the real future. And here was a man qualified to speak about it. Who was Paul? Paul was a prophet messenger. He had met Jesus in the book of Acts chapter 9. It tells us he saw a light, struck him down one day and said, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus. And he thought that man had died. He thought that man was some babbler raised up there, misleading people. He said, the way that is called heresy, so do I worship the God of my fathers now. And Paul was changed by that experience. And Paul was never the same man after he met Jesus Christ. But Leon had the same kind of faith, friend. Because that is what this message and this Christianity and this religion that he served God in this assembly is all about. And after Paul had an experience, then one day God took him up into glory, went beyond this world. He had traveled to many countries by boats and ships, but this place where God took him, Paul saw people who had lived on earth before. There was in eternal youth. Paul said, now we look at the things that are not seen. We walk not by sight, we walk by faith now. He said, this earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. There's another one waiting for you. He said, there are bodies terrestrial and bodies celestial. He saw it. And then this Paul, in the book of Romans, you know how he wrote about sin. He understood the original sin. He said, in Adam we all die. By one man sin entered into the world. Paul knew why Christ had to come. He knew why the original sin took place. He knew why man needed a savior. He knew why Jesus had to raise from the dead. He knew why he appeared to him. He knew why he was commissioned to go and display this Christ to these people. And the very people he was sent to. Preaching that death was abolished and that life and immortality had come to light. One day he ended up in the seat of education in the world in that day, Athens. Home of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all the great men, the deep thinkers of that generation, the Einsteins and all the different ones. Like today, and here was this man. He noticed among them there was a tomb, an inscription, an altar, but it marked to the unknown God. And when he saw that altar to the unknown God, something stirred inside him. He saw people worshiping wood and stone and idols and things. He said, look, I want to tell about Jesus and the resurrection. And he began to preach, showing men that there is a time when God winked at people's ignorance. He said, but now, because that fullness of that word has come, that pillar of fire appeared in the last days, all these things have happened. He said, I want you to know, God cannot wink at ignorance no more. When there was not light, when there was not truth, God could wink at ignorance. But when God reveals his word and brings truth to us, then we have to walk in the light. Then we have to receive the truth. And if we were in error, we have to make the errors right and correct the errors by walking in the truth. And the only way a man can be approved and accepted by God. And Paul began to preach it, and many says, he had it as a new doctrine. They say, what do you matter with Babylon? We don't have time for that. They say, we'll hear about that the next time. Today, I have an appointment. I'm going to the road to keep you back here long. I didn't come to stay here that long. He says, look, we're going to hear about this another time. And he departed. They wasn't going to have another time. That was the time. That was the opportunity. And while they were trying to understand it and criticize from the outside and analyze it, a man and a woman sitting inside of there was understanding something about Jesus, the reality of Jesus. Not a little cross that somebody wear around the neck. Not a little name that somebody, not a sacred heart picture somebody put on the wall. Jesus who meet people, convict them of their sin, break the powers of the devil around their life and make a new creation out of them and live in them and walk in them afterwards. That reality of Jesus Christ. Friends, Leon was one of them men. He was a Dionysus. Because Leon heard the same kind of message today. He heard of a man who met Jesus Christ in the form of a pillar of fire. He heard of a man who was taken into glory and saw people eternally young in another body. He heard of these things while he was a Rastafarian. He heard of these things. And he knew it wasn't just another denomination. And he stepped forward and identified himself with it. He was one cleave unto it. And he was willing to travel to the ends of the earth to tell others about it. He gave his life for it. And he tried to influence those who he's close to. That this is the God I've met. This is what I believe in. This is what changed my life. This has given me the hope. And we might say, look peaceful there. Sure he's peaceful. Because when he's leaving, he says, I feel a sweet peace. He knew the roads he would also was, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. He wrote it. He knew what he had was real. He's going to take him out of the grave. The body in a glorified condition. Because he himself is already in glory.
We pay our last respects today. We give God thanks for a noble life, a dedicated life, a surrendered life, a life that lived with a passion to glorify Jesus Christ, one who serve among us, one who walk in our company, one who sit and talk with us, one who know that the world has come to its end, one who saw the darkness upon the face of this world and saw the hideous condition that people have been deforming to, one who see humanity drifting aimlessly without a hope, and one who knew that like that day, he walked out that crowd and cleaved that man who had met Jesus, who brought a message of life after death, who was fulfilling the scripture in this generation, that God was bringing back the same kind of faith in the hearts of people. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious God, we bow our hearts in your great presence. We are thankful, Father. We are thankful for the footprints left in the sands of time by our precious brother. We are thankful for the testimony he left this earth with when that sweet peace, that dove, that heavenly dove came cooing to his heart, giving him comfort. The life's journey was ended. Man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. But if a man dies, shall he rise again? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though this kingdom destroyed his body, yet in the last days, this Redeemer, when he stands on the earth, I'll see him. These things were real to our brother. He didn't try to mimic it. It entered down on the inside of his heart. When he spoke, it came out in a reality. When he prayed with conviction. He prayed as a man who had met God and God was real in his life. We thank you for him, Father. Today, as we lay the capstone upon his life and this message that we are preaching, Lord, I pray that it would mean something. Those who he were in touch with, his friends, his relatives, his loved ones, family, associates, brothers and sisters in Christ, it would mean something to them. And in some way, the life that he lived would help spur them on in this dark hour to press with greater determination to live for you, knowing, dear God, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's in his mansion today, Lord, just over the hilltop, in that bright city where we never grow old. Oh, my. He's gathered with those who have gone on before, others of like precious faith, taking the armor off, laid on the sword, sitting under the evergreen tree by the river, Lord. But we are still here in the heat of the battle, fighting against the wiles of the devil, trying to hold forth our testimony unblemished. We look forward for the reuniting time, Lord. He's promising it's going to be here. We pray that you would give us courage to keep pressing on, knowing the resurrection it already started, Lord. The Lord is descended from heaven, a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Oh, what a day it will be, Lord. I pray if there be a Dionysus and a Damaris here today, like Leon was in his time. When they heard that word, they clave to it. They walk away from the philosophers. They came in because they had come in contact with reality. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. May they recognize the voice. May they understand the call today, Father. It's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of feasting. Because when we come and we hear about life and death, it causes us to take inventory. Knowing that one of these days, we too would be like a corpse in a box. We want to make sure our soul will be prepared to meet you. If not, Lord, we know then it's going to another place. Or no religion, no man-made religion, no philosophy, no good works. We'll be able to qualify us, Lord, only faith in what you have done in your death and burial and resurrection. Your promise, Father, is going to give us that hope. I pray there be one like that today. The Holy Spirit speak to their hearts. Grant it, Lord. As we leave this place, then going to take the remains and commit it to the earth. Lord, I pray that your presence would mingle among the people. You dry every tear. You lift every spirit. You strengthen everyone that is in need, oh God. Take us safely, and may everything be done peaceably, orderly, pleasing, and acceptable unto you. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As our sisters would sing, come on, we walk by the river. Those who want to take a last look, you come along the side here, or come along the side here, take a look and file out. Remember the condolence book, the relatives' desire, you signed that book, that they could have it as a little memento. So I pray that you would remember, right to the back, just at the entrance of the door. And God bless you. God's peace be with you. And we leave from here. We go to the San Juan Cemetery for the last part, the interment of the body. And I trust it's been a blessing. You sat here today, and we take this time off to give honor to a life that was lived worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Troubles are left far behind us.
swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming. Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. About the pleasures coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low.